All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's a t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
And welcome to another episode of Geek Stuff. This would be episode 14.
Correct.
Memento.
Memento.
And as we begin episode 4.
Begin?
Begin?
Hmm.
Are we beginning?
Hmm.
Is this the beginning? Or is this the end, my friends? Which is it?
Bum, bum, bum.
As we sashay.
Right, sashay. 2 points.
Into episode 14. We should make note of the fact that it is very fucking hot in the studio today.
It is so hot, in fact, that old syrup guts.
Little Fantastic, or as we like to call him around here, old syrup guts.
Is melting.
Is melting. He can't. It's gotten so bad that if you just hang him by one of his limbs, he stretches himself under his own weight. Corn, it's amazing.
Corn syrup doesn't do well in 100-degree weather.
No, and he's so viable right now. It's just... It's unbelievable. It's in sharp contrast to the actual Fantastic, who is rigid and inflexible.
Right. I feel sorry for the little guy. Whoa.
Whoa.
The real Fantastic might wish he could do that.
Poor little Fantastic. Poor old syrup guts. He's suffering in the heat. I'm going to set him over there where he'll be okay.
He's going to end up on somebody's pancakes before the end of this episode.
Like he's just...
just melting into himself at this point.
Hysterical.
Right.
So, what should we do now?
I don't know. What do we normally do at this point in the show?
That segment.
Right.
Where we talk about things that are...
may or may not happen.
We talk about the things that are not old, but
are new.
Yes.
Right.
And there are multiple of them.
Sure. Like, for example, the Curry power notes. Of the Dark Crystal. You heard
what?
About this? Yeah. It's a theatrical sequel to the Dark Crystal.
Crystal. Yeah. Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal. It's a theatrical sequel to the Dark Crystal. It's called Power of the Dark Crystal.
Hold on a second. Ah. Refreshments in the studio.
Hey. It's going to be done using the Jim Henson Creature Shop, as it should be. It's going to be directed by Gennady Tartakovsky, who was the director of Star Wars Clone Wars, the animated series.
Ooh.
Dexter's Lab, the animated series.
Mm.
And Samurai Jack, the animated series. So,
wow, you just totally went on a complete downward spiral animation-wise.
I kind of like Samurai Jack.
Oh, no.
And Dexter's Lab was...
Was definitely a solid okay.
Yeah, there's a level of quality to all of those. Yeah,
Samurai Jack, though... Very not as more gooder. It's definitely
wow. It's good.
Samurai Jack, not as good.
It's good.
Clone Wars, however,
excellent.
Better than the last movie.
Right.
So okay.
Well, not the last movie. The middle movie, I think.
No, it's better than really all of them, wasn't it? Did you watch them all?
Yeah, it's I loved it.
I thought they were fantastic. They were better.
No.
They were better acting and storytelling in the animated Clone Wars than there was in the three movies that two that preceded and one that followed.
Right.
I thought.
So, I don't know. It sounds like a decent director, and I don't want to go without mentioning the fact that Brian Froud will be lending his creative skills and artistic skills to the film. Brian Froud, who did all of the original creature designs for Dark
Crystal.
He's
a great guy.
He did all of the original creature designs for Labyrinth. And also, throughout the years, he's published quite a few books on his own with his own designs. All the fairy books, or most of the fairy books that you see out there, Good Fairy, Bad Fairy, Pressed Fairies, that kind of stuff. He also did a couple of goblin books. Well-known fantasy artist. He's going to be lending his creative talent to the film as well. It looks like the film is going to reintroduce most of the original characters, including the Skeksis and the Mystics. And
really?
Yep. But, which I'm pretty excited about.
Well, I'm
kind of like the Skeksis and the Mystics.
Wait a minute. But did you see the Dark Crystal?
Yeah.
Didn't they resolve all that Skeksis Mystics thing at the end?
I guess somehow they're going to bring them back. So, I don't know. There's not a lot
they're
of information
split
out
them
there
up
right
again?
Now.
I don't. Maybe
it's
a prequel.
No, it's definitely looks like a...
What?
We'll
see.
No, looks like a sequel.
But what's going
to... I don't know. I don't know.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Look, I don't know.
They solved it at the end. There can't be a fucking sequel.
I'm merely reporting on what I discovered while surfing that World Wide Web.
I got something. It's a bit of last week's news, but you should check it out anyway. Do a YouTube search or Google video search for Seth MacFarlane speaking at Harvard. He spoke before their graduation and does the voices of Stewie and Quagmire and Peter. And it's kind of raunchy, so it's funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, so you should check that out.
He was just the guest speaker for... did they give him any one of those, like, honorary degrees and shit like they do?
No,
I hate
I don't
that
think
stuff.
So.
Honorary... note of letters or something, whatever it is.
An honorary
letter of
doctorate
something
in
and
animation or something queer.
No.
Well, that's good. I wouldn't mind seeing Seth's
honorary
Seth's
something with letters. I don't remember what it's
so
called.
So jump over to YouTube and check that out along with everything else that's on YouTube. That's a great little site if you haven't checked it out before. But
don't we, speaking of fantastic piping in, don't you have some other piece of news for us?
Do I?
Does he?
What are you alluding to? Just cut to the chase.
Fantastic came to me, and he said, I have a piece of news I want to share on the show.
Okay.
And I said, well, what is the news? And then he told me what the news was, and I said, oh, yes, you must share it with the entire audience. And it wasn't that Seth MacFarlane bit, and you have not been prepared for this. So I want you to get the full experience. And right now, we're going to go to a special segment featuring Mr. Fantastic.
Marvel 1602 has a very disappointing ending.
And that's news to him. That's Fantastic's new segment. It's news to me.
It's news to me because I don't know what's going on in your geek world.
He reads 1602 three years later.
And actually, that's a good little segue.
Segue?
Into a correction that we have. That did not come from one of our loyal listeners, but instead came from Mr. Fantastic while he was having an epiphany about this fantastic news story that he's brought to us this week.
Once again, in case you missed it.
Marvel 1602 has a very disappointing ending.
Had a very disappointing ending.
Did I say very? I don't remember. But you know, go ahead, Matt.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry. Did I overstep it?
He had a little seasoning for emphasis. The correction would be something that we kind of debated and bounced back and forth last week when we were discussing 1602, and that would be what year it actually came out. Kevin had said 2002. Mr. Fantastic had agreed with him and did his little old 1602-2002 analogy. And I was pretty steadfast in saying that 2002, not so much. I seem to remember it being a little bit later than that. And it appears that it was meant to be released in 2002, but due to some delays, production delays and whatnot, it never actually made it to the shelves until 2003.
So moral of the story is, you're perfect.
Well, you know... It happens.
No, he's not talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was.
It's all about you, isn't it, Matt?
Sometimes.
Never.
And speaking of Matt, Matt Damon currently looks like he might be the front runner for the position of Kirk in the new Star Trek film that they're working on.
Which Kirk?
Old Kirk.
Old Kirk.
What do you mean, which Kirk?
I just want to see if he knows who the hell he's talking
young
about.
Young Kirk?
Because I know he doesn't. So I'm gonna let him flounder.
What are you talking
young
about?
Young Kirk.
Young? Really? That's his name, Kirk?
Captain James Kirk? Well, I guess not captain yet, but James T. Kirk.
James.
Do you know what the T stands
James
for?
Young? No, I don't.
Turn in your fucking card. Yeah. It's the most geek-ass question ever, and you don't know what the T stands for in James T. Kirk?
I don't.
You want to ask me?
You know it.
I don't know. Is it like Tiberius?
That's it. Yeah. Tiberius.
Is it really Tiberius?
The non-geek in the room knows what the T is, and you are so watching the original series this summer, you loser.
What I'll do is I'll take my card out, and I'll cut like just the corner of it off. Once I watch the original three seasons, I can have the corner back. I'll tape it on. It'll be just like new. So it looks like Matt Damon is the front runner. It's probably a little too early to say that that's solid. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that's a good choice?
Yeah. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah. What about you, Kev?
He's a handsome young man.
No, I don't think I'd be very good in it.
Not even paying attention.
I am paying attention.
Matt Damon as Kirk.
It's hot.
Good or bad?
Matt Damon as Kirk, great idea.
Yeah?
The only problem is if they don't get a decent Spock.
Right.
And it better not be fucking Affleck. Nothing against Mr. Affleck or anything like that. It's just enough already.
Well,
they got to get some slender young guy.
If you gotta speculate, I know who they need. Who could fit in that role?
Really, honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
I have a great answer. Jude Law.
Jude Law.
I think Jude Law would be a good Spock.
MRA, moving right along, past Matt Damon as Kirk. Marvel made the announcement this week, or the speculation this week, I should say, that Sabretooth, who originally was supposed to be in all three X-Men films, looks like he's going to make an appearance in the Wolverine film.
Oh, no. We had to have Juggernaut.
Well... I don't mind putting him in the Wolverine film. I think Sabretooth as a character, a lot of his storyline revolves directly around Wolverine. And I think putting him in a Wolverine film is a good idea.
I agree.
I think he should have been in the second film.
Well, he should have, but for whatever reason, Tyler Mane didn't come back or didn't do it. I don't know exactly.
But they didn't really go for a muscle in the second film.
No, they went for Stryker and for Deathstrike.
Yeah, it was all
stuff like that.
Colonel William Stryker.
Yeah,
and I guess Lady Deathstrike.
Lady Deathstrike.
Did they even call her Lady Deathstrike in that movie?
I think they do refer to her as Deathstrike.
But,
I think
so. That's why it makes sense that no Sabretooth would appear in that movie, because that dude hated mutants.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I think he should have definitely been in the third one instead of that non-mutant
Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, already as part of that story, it seems like they're talking about how maybe it's not going to be a prequel, but maybe it's going to take place in between films. And so I don't know exactly what they're going to do. That
actually,
might
that
make
would
more
be,
sense.
That would make sense, because then
they could explain what happened to Sabretooth. At
why
least.
He doesn't show up in the second and third movie.
Right. I mean, maybe you could have the third movie. Wolverine maim him or something, you know, something good.
Yeah,
something
but he's good. Got the same thing. Or does he in the movies?
I don't know. They don't really. They don't really talk about his powers in the movie, other than he has some sort of claws. So.
And they can expand on that.
Sure.
In that
sure.
movie.
And like I said, you know, Sabretooth and Wolverine have a rich history in the comic books.
Ooh, rich history, is it?
It is, and there's plenty to draw upon for the film. So that's good. Moving past that, and moving past.
You know, he hates when you say moving past.
I don't care.
Moving and. Like your awful segues between segments?
Not as much as I hate you rehashing what he just said.
When did I rehash what he said?
Just now. You just repeated what he said.
What did I repeat that he said?
See?
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Sabretooth. It'll be interesting to see his role in the film.
You don't know how to do it, do you?
No, I don't. You do it. I was going to throw it to you, but you
What's
have no comic
next
book
thing?
News this week.
There's no. There's well.
Why don't you
I'll
talk about that graphic novel that you picked up? That little Viper Comics thing. She's All That, or whatever the hell it's called.
She's All That, the comic. I can't wait to see.
Look at him try to reach. He's like an upside down turtle.
Don't you reach into my pants and off, asshole.
This is why we're not on
Are
iTunes.
Are we recording?
This is why we're not on iTunes.
Why don't we see what you have for us this week?
I have a couple of bits of news, actually.
Okay.
The first bit is that Eternals 1 by John Romita Jr., written by Neil Gaiman, has arrived, and it was awesome. Totally and completely awesome. The art was fantastic. The writing, incredible. And you must pick it up. I know what you're going to say, Matt. Put your hand down. I know you're going to say, but Kev, how can you possibly promote a Marvel book? I'm doing it. I feel dirty about it, but it's got to be said. The book is awesome.
Actually, I have something else to interject here, if that's all you have to say about the Eternals.
That's,
Is that ever
for now
all he has to say?
Well, but this is related to the Eternals in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, go.
Because it's related to Neil Gaiman.
Okay, go.
And it's related to Miracle Man.
Okay, go.
Which we talked about last week.
Okay, go.
For those of you
my fantastic impression.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
For those of you who listened to episode 13, we did that piece on Miracle Man and the legal history of Miracle Man and the rights issues with Miracle Man.
Oh, that's right.
And we discussed the Man of Miracles figures that came out.
Man of Miracles action figure in the Spawn
right.
29 line.
Well, I have some news in regards to that. Since that line was released about 2 weeks ago, at least here on the East Coast, the case lot, the pack out in the case lot has drastically changed from the first shipment.
That's right. Our ubiquitous clandestine informants have been contacting us from all over the globe.
That's right.
Not only the East Coast, saying that Man of Miracles is not showing up in the cases that they're cracking.
He seems to have been replaced with an extra Ninja Spawn figure in some of the cases, and with an extra
whoever the
female angel figure
right.
In some of the other cases.
Interesting.
So that leads us to wonder if he was pulled because of all the controversy.
And that leads me to this statement. Man of Miracles action figure for sale at Big Kev's Critical Toys, only $250.
Man of Miracles action figure, guaranteed the first McFarlane figure in a very long time to grace the top 10 list next month at Toy Fair.
Oh, my God. No, it won't. They hate McFarlane. They hate McFarlane. It would. You know what? If it was the rarest toy in America, it probably still wouldn't make the top 10 list.
So really what I want to say here is if you're finding this as well, please let us know, because I want to know how far spread this is. I want to know how far this reaches out, because I think that it was pulled, in my personal opinion.
Right.
Okay. What else you got for us?
I got a fabulous little collection called You'll Have That. It's a comic strip by Wes Molbash. It says Volume 1. This is a web comic.
Mm-hmm.
That follows the lives of Andy and Katie, a newlywed couple in their 20s, as they try to figure out their life together.
Hmm.
It's great. They, you know, if you're in a relationship and your gal isn't really a, how would you put it, geek, one way that you might try to bridge the gap is to find material like You'll Have That, which will kind of ease her into the art, no pun intended, of illustrated storytelling.
Right.
Or comic strips or comic, or eventually comic books.
Right.
Because it's not such an easy transition to make. There are a bunch of books out there that are like this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that You'll Have That is a very good example. It's actually a web comic that they've collected together in a little lovely
volume.
Volume. And I want to give out the...
Isn't it vipercomics.com or something?
But
is
it Viper Comics?
That's where I found it. That's where I read it.
You did find it there? Okay, let's... You can check out the strip online at vipercomics.com, vipercomics.com. And I think we're going to get Wes Molbash on the show.
That'd be great.
I think we've already reached out, and I think once Fantastic has solved the phone issue, then we're going to go ahead and get him. We're going to add him immediately
cool.
to the expected guest list once we turn that corner.
Cool.
Again, so let's talk about that for a minute. This is one. There's another book out there you might want to check out called Stylish Vittles,
mm-hmm.
Which is another kind of you can read it together in bed kind of book, which is very good. There was another one. I think it's called.
I like to put Liberty Meadows in this category as well.
Right. Well, Liberty Meadows, yes, because it's a funny comic strip and it's intended for all readers, but I'm going more in the romance direction
right.
here.
Okay.
There's another one called Love Fights, which I think is very funny.
Okay.
It's these kind of things that you might read together. And what I mean by read together is obviously you don't find Fantastic and Mrs. Fantastic lying in bed together reading the comic at the same time. What
right.
you do is, well, I mean, you may want to do that. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that. You can read the book and then pass it off to your gal.
Right.
Or you can give the book to your gal and then you might follow up after and read it. It's something that maybe you both can share, which could, in fact, lead to reading other things.
Sure.
And that's, you kind of, with all due respect, my brother geeks and my sister geeks out there, you do want to get your significant other at least in the ballpark. She doesn't have to play the game, but she should at least buy a hot dog.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. And right. I think stuff like You'll Have It by Wes Molbash is something that will help you get there.
Great. Great. So definitely go and check that out.
Definitely.
Check out vipercomics.com. You'll actually see a couple of other really funny web strips on that website that we'll be talking about in future episodes. So check it out. And that's going to wrap up this little segment about bits and pieces of maybe new information that we found since the last episode. And
you know he doesn't like it when you call it little bits of information that we found since the last
episode. He doesn't like it when I call it news. He doesn't like it when I call it current events. So I'm going to call it something new each week, and eventually we'll stumble upon
Ooh,
something.
Something new.
Ooh, something new.
What about calling
new?
It something new? What? Maybe that
fantastic.
Could be. Maybe that could be your bit. We're gonna have to make a little, sound jingle
a little sound
for that.
Sound jingle for me too.
It's all right. Something new.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break now, and we'll be right back with some more exciting stuff in Geek Stuff, episode 14, Memento.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for the cultural event. Of 2006. As the relaunch of Big Kev's Critical Toys .com comes to you. July 21st, 2006.
Telling you, old Syrup Guts is really suffering in the heat. He's collapsing under his own weight.
It really is like that scene in the movie now.
It is.
Where he comes out of the chair.
Little fantastic. All right. I don't want to get any crap for this segment. I want to open by saying that.
That's really hard.
Crap from you, and I don't want crap from you.
That's hard to promise.
Today, we're going to be talking about a product. Product I've received, and I think it's great. You know, we need to try to stay open-minded.
Sure.
On Geek Stuff.
I agree.
Because it's okay that we're covering the entire, when we say we cover toys and films and everything, we need to cover the entire thing. We need to not be exclusionary.
Sure.
As they say.
Sure.
And in that vein, I would like to talk about a product that you and I, Matthew, came in contact with at this year's Toy Fair.
We did.
It's called Twilight Turtle.
It is.
Okay. And what Twilight Turtle is it's a very, very unique product from Cloud B.
It sure is.
Cloud B is a company. Their slogan is helping children sleep. And they make toys that are designed to assist children to sleep, which I think is a very important thing. And maybe this just affects me because I have sleeping difficulties, as you know.
Sure.
So maybe this affects me. Maybe if I had had a product like Twilight Turtle when I was a young boy, I would have conquered my sleep issues at a much younger age, and I'd be much healthier now.
Do you sleep with Twilight Turtle now?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with sleeping with Twilight Turtle.
I just wanted to make sure.
Let's talk about, before you start busting chops, let's talk about Twilight Turtle.
Okay.
Cloud B describes Twilight Turtle as the newest member of the Sleep Sheep and Friends collection. Their other product is a Sleep Sheep. It's a plush sheep that features some soothing sounds for the child to sleep with. Twilight Turtle eases children to sleep by projecting a soothing starry night sky onto bedroom walls and ceiling. A plush turtle with a projector in its plastic shell. Twilight Turtle soft starlight eases children's fear of the dark. The stars are illuminated in three colors, amber, green, or blue, each specifically chosen for their relaxing, rejuvenating, and calming qualities. Parents choose the color and can sit with their children and identify eight major constellations using the fully illustrated Twilight Turtle Star Guide, designed for children 3 to adults. Twilight Turtle has a soft plush body, obviously, and he has a hard shell, hard plastic shell, which has a few, it has a button and a switch in the back.
Right.
And the switch allows you to change between the three colors that they mentioned that you can project the stars in. And I happen to have here, luckily enough for us, I have the Twilight Turtle Star Guide, which tells us all about the Twilight Turtle. And I'm going to quickly flip to the meanings, the colors and meanings section, because I think this is very interesting. Fantastic.
It looks like Cloud B is out of California.
Cloud B is out of California. Good. An American product, folks. An American product.
That's right.
Good for us.
American turtle.
So, first color, blue. Blue has been shown to calm the mind and soothe the senses. We are surrounded by blue in nature from sky to sea. It encourages relaxation and promotes sound sleep. Right? Green. Green is the color of life and renewal. Abundant in nature, green is symbolic of growth and the rebirth of spring. Green is thought to promote healing and rejuvenation.
Okay.
And finally, amber. Amber is the color of autumn and the setting sun. Like the glow of a campfire, amber radiates warmth, good cheer, and peace. So you can choose which of these three colors. You can bounce them around for your kids. You know, you can try different ones for different occasions.
Does it have a random?
No, no random. No, you know what? And there were a couple. I'm going to get to that. There were a couple of features. I tried out Twilight Turtle, and there were a couple, I thought, improvements that they might consider for Twilight Turtle V2 that they might want to consider. Just me thinking.
Sure.
So here's what's great about Twilight Turtle. Besides his great design, and he's it looks like he's asleep, so he's promoting sleep by himself being quite asleep.
Sure.
You turn Twilight Turtle on. He's got his battery pack and a flap under here, and you turn him to the on position. And then what you do, it's great. You can select the color that you want to pick. Choose. So I'm going to choose, for the sake of argument, maybe fantastic. Maybe you can get the lights in here. We can get the lights, and we can just do you can see a little quickie demonstration. Obviously, the studio... not completely dark because of
your turtle tank,
the turtle tank, the computer monitors. But I think we'll get an accurate estimation here. Okay, what he has now, once you've selected the color and set the switch accordingly, and you've turned him on his underside, here's a great feature. It has a button. You press the button, right, and the light comes on, and it projects the stars, as you can see in the studio. It's projecting stars all around the studio. That's a little difficult to see in some of the lighter areas, but in darker areas of the studio, you can see that it's projecting the stars. And I've selected the blue color because I think that'll give us the best view. Fantastic.
This, your fascination with this thing is disturbing.
I think it's great.
See, that's my whole thing. I'd like to say that if you have children, whether or not they have, you know, if they have problems sleeping or not, if you have children, I do agree. I see the benefits of this product.
Right.
I could see where a parent would be interested in getting this product. Certainly, in addition to promoting sleep, it sounds as though
good sound sleep is very important for young children.
Well, sure, but it also promotes learning with the constellations and stuff like that. You can go over that with your kids.
And you have a star guide.
But it's really your obsession with Twilight Turtle that I find a little disturbing.
You know,
uncomfortable.
Every now and then, we come across a product in our travels
sure.
that isn't that is, you know, maybe a little bit outside of our preview, but this being a toy and this being a well-made toy and to me a fascinating toy,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's me. Maybe I have a broad mind and maybe you two narrow thinkers, you know, aren't really grasping the fact that when we're covering toys, we're covering all toys.
I grasp you.
Wow. And okay.
Well, let me.
Why don't you, Kevin the Turtle, go some alone time?
That's good.
No, I do get where you're coming from. Especially, I mean, I'm taking a look at the site right now. It's sleepsheepandfriends.com.
Actually, you can go right to twilightturtle.com. Did you try that one?
That's how I got there, yeah.
Yeah, and you can check out all of Cloud B's products, which are really good. But let me tell you, I got interrupted earlier. The thing about the button, Matt, that I didn't tell you is when you press the button, it's on a timer. And right. In 45 minutes...
It goes out?
It goes out. So you put this on, you put this in your kid's room. If we were in a smaller, like a child's room, and there were no... all this ambient... We have so much ambient light coming in right now, even though all the lights in the studio are off. You can only get a vague... impression of what this does. It really is... Like a very attractive and interesting and educational nightlight, which I think it's a fantastic product.
Sure.
Well, I think it's just great.
I'm chalking it up to, in general, you have an obsession with turtles.
I like turtles. That's true. And this is more an obsession, Matthew. This is more an obsession with quality toys. That's what this obsession would come. This obsession falls under quality toys, because if this was a Twilight dinosaur, I would still appreciate the idea behind it, the technology, and the real quality product. This is a quality American product here, and I think we can't. I don't think we should gloss that over.
Well, certainly, if you're one of our listeners who is a parent with children out there. Should definitely go and check out
TwilightTurtle.com. And I think if you are one of our listeners and you have a child or you know a parent that has a child that has sleep difficulties or things of that nature, tell them to check out TwilightTurtle.com. Tell them to check out this company, Cloud B, and get a hold of some of these products. Because I think it's great. I mean, maybe it's slightly outside of our preview. And let me tell you, at $34, which is the suggested retail for this, it's a godsend for a parent with a child who can't sleep. I think I think you really need to consider that.
You're done right there. Right?
No, I'm not done. I'm not done.
You were done. You called something
say,
a godsend. You end there.
I want you to say something nice about the Twilight Turtle. One nice thing. What is it? Is it so outside of our preview to talk about a quality toy
because it doesn't have a
cape on it or come from a video game that you're obsessed with or come from... something that you're obsessed with. Is it so hard for you to...
You want my serious review of this? I think that the light is not strong enough.
See, but that's what I was trying to explain to you, that there's too much ambient light in this room.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard. Even then, it doesn't look strong enough.
It is strong enough,
I
promise
you.
And
if I were a kid and you put this on the side of my bed, this would scare me. More than put me to sleep.
That would scare you?
As a kid, I was easily scared while sleeping.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. That's a cute little turtle, and he looks like he's sleeping himself. Yeah, he's terrifying. You're an idiot.
If you woke up and this was near your head.
If I woke up and it was near my
head.
If I woke up, first of all, you don't put it near the child's head, stupid.
Why? It might scare the child?
No, because you want to put it more centrally located so that it can fill the room.
Oh.
You idiot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I woke up and it was, if I woke up and it was there and it wasn't there when I started out, I might be scared. But that's not the way you work, Twilight Turtle. You discuss it with your kid. You say, check out, this is a constellation. What's a constellation? It's a little thing. And it, you get a whole star guide here. It tells you all the constellations that Twilight Turtle is projecting. You narrow-minded idiot.
I'm happy being a narrow-minded idiot.
Yeah, apparently.
That's what I am. For
good.
That
wallow in your ignorance, you stupid moron.
Thanks.
This is a quality American product. It's helping out. It's educational. And you got a crap on it because it's not an action figure.
It's not a ninja.
Yeah, exactly. If it was Ninja Twilight Turtle, or if it was...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Twilight Turtle?
If it was Street Fighter Twilight Turtle, you can bet your ass Mr. Fantastic would have one in each color projecting all the different colored stars on his ceiling.
If you do back, forward, and hit the attack button, Twilight Turtle becomes a ball and rolls across the room.
Exactly. Exactly. You step 1 inch to the left or right of Fantastic Interest, it sucks. It's no good. You negative Nancy. Sit down. You're done. You're done. Don't say anything else. Don't say it. Sit. Sit down. You got anything to say, Matt?
I've said all I had to say.
I hope it was something positive because I'm so lost in my rage at Fantastic's closed-mindedness that I don't remember if you say something nice about him.
I said that for a parent with a child.
Yes, I remember that now. You
can
stop.
Difficulties. It's a good product.
It's a good product. It's Twilight Turtle. Check him out at twilightturtle.com. Cloud B is the name of the company. It's about a $34 retail, I think. I think it's manufacturer suggested price. Yes, suggested retail price $34. Check it out. Matt, on July 29th, from 10 to 6, the Ducrete School of Art is hosting Comics Sci-Fi Fantasy Day.
That's right. Your free admission to this show includes drawing lessons, portfolio reviews, tons of vendors, lots of comics and toys.
In addition to that, you can meet their guest artists who include Mark Romanowski from Magic the Gathering, DC Comics, and Warcraft, William O'Connor, also from Magic the Gathering and Star Wars, and Tommy Castillo, who has worked on George Romero books and Batman.
That's right. This show's going to be at the Ducrete School of Art, located at 1030 Central Avenue in Plainfield, New Jersey, 07060. And you can go to www.ducrete.edu for more information.
I sure hope we're saying the name of the school right. Is it Ducrete?
If not, it's Ducrete.edu.
You can bust my chops all you want, but I think that you should be taking Twilight Turtle a little bit more seriously.
Very hard to take Twilight Turtle seriously.
It's great.
It is a great. It is one of the great products. But well, your obsession with it, it's a little obscure.
As you listeners may be aware, this music can only mean one thing, and we're right. Talking about Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean from NECA, Wave 3.
Ooh, sorry.
What?
It was last week.
But,
or 2 weeks ago.
But I thought, but last time I did it, I said it was, and you said it was.
Yeah, you stink.
What's it now?
It is Pirates Davy Jones' Curse by WizKids.
Oh,
the new expansion.
We finally
got some.
Pirates of the Spanish Main?
Yes, the new expansion.
Yes, I am
Davy Jones'
thrilled.
Curse.
Davy Jones' Curse. Not to be confused with some other pirate product that may also have Davy Jones in the title and may also be something about a curse.
And may also have been referenced by you like 10 seconds ago.
Maybe. Maybe those products are based on another property.
Right.
That may have a similar sort of name.
Similar.
Or idea or thrust. Anyway, have we possibly not given you the impression at this point, loyal listeners, that if you are not playing WizKids Pirates of the Spanish Main and all of its many expansions, that you are doing yourself a disservice?
A huge, huge disservice.
This game is unique. It's fun. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, Davy Jones' Curse, possibly best expansion so far.
Now, I agree with you, but, you know, if you remember when we had Retailer X in the studio a couple weeks back, he thought two things, actually. He thought that WizKids had potentially already killed this property, which I totally disagree with.
Not according to WizKids.
I agree. I mean, and we're going to talk about some stuff that I know for a fact is selling very, very well.
All right.
But in addition, he thought that adding the fantasy element that this expansion adds to the game and taking out some of the realism that they had in the earlier expansions also was a hindrance to the game. I personally think that it's great. I think that it's a great, great idea. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Davy Jones Curse expansion set, in addition to having a new race, which is the Cursed,
right,
would be Davy Jones's crew and his group. It also has the addition of these sea monsters.
Creatures of the sea.
These, you know, the giant squid and the sea serpent. And
all these kinds of things. Fantastic creatures that may have made their way cinematically into the life of pirates or even tall tales told way back when about, I don't know, some great white fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Something. I don't want to say that there's any sort of thing in here, but maybe we're talking about, you know, giant killer whales with sharp teeth that are tearing boats apart. You've seen pictures. If you haven't, Google pirates or things attacking ships, and you'll definitely see some of the bases of these cards in this expansion.
I think that this is really going to add a new element to the game.
Totally.
And I think that depending on how you choose to play these cards, because as I understand it, looking through some of the packs and some of the specialty boxes that I got, which we'll get to in a sec.
Right.
You know, these creatures play very similar to ships in that they have movement. They have cannon fire. Well, not cannon fire, but attack.
Right.
And as I understand it, they are controlled by individual players. You actually get to control these things.
That's interesting.
But I also have been reading about and looking about some people who are choosing to use these almost as an NPC, as a random event,
right,
added to the element of the game.
And don't you think that's the best way to do it?
That's how I would choose to do these. I think, you know, the game already has some random events that are generated by cards and generated by weather and stuff like that. But I think that this element is going to be huge.
Whatever game you play, this is kind of a broad generalization here. Whatever game you play, you know, whatever sort of role playing or tabletop or even crazy, you know, games like Risk.
Right.
You're going to have your own house rules.
Sure.
And if everyone in the room or the person who's running the game, if you agree to play in this game, and as long as the rules are laid out beforehand and not decided in the middle of the game, there shouldn't be any problem with that.
No.
Those are the house rules. You play by the house rules. You know, and I don't know. I just think that I think there's room for all sorts of little things. There are some rules in Pirates that we don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, well, especially with this game, people have really taken it and run with it. I mean,
right.
The game out of the box really is a fantastic strategy, fun game, you know, can be played in a single session on a Saturday afternoon, you know, relaxing with a couple of your friends. But the fans of this game have really taken it to the next level in a lot of ways. And there are campaign settings and mini adventures and all sorts of things that they've added to the game, all sorts of elements that WizKids didn't intend, but certainly I'm sure supports, because it promotes the game.
Absolutely.
It promotes the product. But getting back to Davy Jones' Curse, which is the focus of what we're talking about here,
right?
I wanted to bring into the conversation these specialty box sets that they're putting out.
Okay, what are those?
These are specialty limited edition sets that they're putting out, retail at about $9.99, as far as I can see. Yeah, you say, you whistle and you're making a little sound effects, but the contents of the box is actually not bad. You've got at least two packs worth of cards mm-hmm. in the box. So right off the bat, you can play a solid game just with one of these boxes if this was all you're playing.
Right.
And in addition to that, you get a limited edition ship, one of four, that I believe are only available in these boxes.
Oh, we better make sure we get those boxes.
Well, I got two boxes so far, and I was fortunate enough to get two different ships. Now, they're not blind box. There is a little window in the bottom of the box, and you'll be able to see which ship it is you're getting.
Oh, good.
Of course, not until you crack open the box or crack open a pack of Davy Jones and have a checklist in your hands do you know what ships are the special ships. And so, you know, unless you have a little bit of an idea of what's going on, you might not know. But I'm going to read them off for you now. There are four ships.
Okay.
Two are pirate ships, expanding upon the class of pirate, which has been established since the first wave.
Right.
And they would be the Fool's Gold and the Electric Eel.
Okay, so those are the two pirate ships available in these expansion packs.
Correct. And then the other two ships are Cursed ships, which is the new class.
The new class.
The new class added specifically to this set. And they are the Boneyard and the Drowned Man.
Okay.
Now, I got today, I got an Electric Eel, which I believe is a pirate ship.
Right.
And I got a Drowned Man, which is the Cursed ship.
Which one do I get?
We'll see what other boxes we get.
Oh, it's like that. I gotcha. Well, let me tell you what I got today. I got a whole bunch of Davy Jones curse packs, all for me.
Did you?
Yep. All for me.
Okay.
All for me and fantastic.
Oh, good.
We're going to open them. We're going to put them together, and we're going to play test it. We're going to come back, and we might let you play with your little ships that you don't like to share.
Sure.
And I think we should set up a little play testing date.
Okay.
And have a round with right out of the pack, Davy Jones, no other ship. What do they call that? Sealed pack?
It's a sealed deck tournament.
Sealed deck
is the
kind of
lingo.
Tournament.
Started back in the Magic the Gathering days, where you would get one starter deck and two booster packs.
Right.
And you would have to play with what you were given.
I think we can do that. Couple of packs apiece. Of course, you can have your little box sets, la-di-da. And not share them. And I think we'll see who does better out of that.
Okay. I just wanted to say that a couple more things about this little pack here. Mm-hmm.
The one you're not sharing?
The one I'm not sharing. At the very least, the Drowned Man, which is the cursed ship, it's a ghost ship. And ghost ships have been introduced now since the beginning, since the first wave. And also, you'll notice that in the window, the ship actually comes pre-assembled. And then it comes with the deck plates behind it. So the ship is fully playable in-game.
That's great. So, it's fully playable if you have it.
Sure.
And if you were to share it, it would be fully playable.
Sure.
Got it. Okay, good. Good to know. What is that big behemoth in front of you?
This would be the, and I don't know where else it was given out, but it was a tournament pack that we got at Wizard Philly when we were there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We got a couple of these, actually. We were.
Did we? Did I get one?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you actually got, like.
Did I get all of them and share one with you?
You did.
Oh, okay.
They're all the same, though. So you gave me one of
but I shared
something
it with
that
you
had four of.
But
already.
But I shared it with you.
Yes, you shared it with me. You can use my my drowned.
No,
man.
No, it's okay. No, I don't want to use your drowned man.
Okay, well,
just like you know,
I don't cave at all.
He's like, he's not caving. I can use his ship.
You're making him feel bad.
Meanwhile,
believe me, I don't feel bad.
Meanwhile, it's not that I loaned him the behemoth ship that we got at Philly. No, didn't loan it to him. Gave it to him flat out. Here you go, pal. I got two of something I want to share with my friend. There you go.
If I had two drowned man, I would give him one.
No, of course.
It's
not like he has two packs and he could give a friend one pack.
It's like that time you...
Plus, I'm sure this is not the end of them.
Saw that Storm Shadow with the dragon on his chest and you said, I got to get that.
I got to get that from Mr. Fantastic.
And although... I'll have you know, I've seen like a million of those now.
But now, at the time.
Exactly. But I figured I'd put that out.
And I saw it, and I instantly thought of Fantastic, and I said, you know what? Fantastic would enjoy this. I'm going to pick this up for Fantastic.
I buy stuff for people. I let Kevin know when I find
people?
Stuff that I know he wants.
People.
Yeah, you. Other people. Hmm. You know,
apparently,
if I know.
Apparently, I'm not people this week, huh?
Well, Big Kev, great guy. Matt C.
It's okay.
From the mouth of Fantastic, I said nothing.
That's okay. Paint me as a scumbag.
By the way, Fantastic, while we're in the giving spirit, let me know later. I have something else for you as well.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I thought you would like, so I picked it up for you.
Matt, what do you have for me?
Nothing, actually.
Put that finger away.
That's right. That's what I have for you. I got something else for you later, too, if you don't shut up.
Ooh.
So anyway.
Ooh. I feel the tension in the air.
It's the heat in here.
Yo, it is warm up in this studio tonight.
Is it the heat that's keeping him greedy and selfish?
It could be.
Okay.
It could be. So this big mamma jamma of a ship is from the Pirates of the South China Seas.
That I shared with you.
It is part of the Jade Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the ship is the Bao Chaun.
Why don't you spell it?
Bao Chuan. This is like six times the size.
It's huge.
Of the regular ship. And it's totally legit during gameplay. You could use this along with the other ships.
That's awesome. Is it a pirate? Like, what is its
Jade Rebellion.
Oh, it's a Jade Rebellion ship.
Now, the movement on the ship is one long, okay?
Right.
But when the ship is like, literally like three or four times the other size of the ship. Like one long is like a quarter of the playing board.
No, it's what is it one long on that card?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I don't know. Oh, you know what? Maybe not.
I don't think so, my friend.
Maybe not.
I think it's one long on
a standard card,
which makes that the slowest moving ship that there is.
Yeah, but you know, but it's because of its length, it has the potential to touch land. Or other ships sooner.
Or two pieces of land at the same time.
It has on it 10 cannons.
Wow.
Five of which are long with three as the difficulty.
Right, hit number.
Yeah, and then the other five are shorts.
Right.
Three of which are fours and the other two are threes. It's a pretty powerful ship. Oh, and the cargo capacity is a 10 also.
Wow.
Of course... The points to play the ship, 30 points.
Right. So
now, I think in Spanish Main, I think the fleet build in Spanish Main is like 25 points.
But 30 points.
You'd
almost sacrifice the 30 points to put that ship into play.
Sure. And actually, you know what? There's another ship that really should have brought with me tonight that would have been perfect to discuss. The Whitebeard and his ship.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to discuss
that. That's right. The Whitebeard. Where'd you get the Whitebeard?
I think I got that from you also.
Did you? How about that? Did I have a pair of white beards and I shared one with you?
Again, you had about eight of them, I think.
Really? Because I only remember having two and giving you one.
About eight of them. So anyway.
According to you, I have eight of everything.
So, Pirates, Davy Jones' Curse is the expansion set. Oh, and also this little box set comes with a huge six-sided die as opposed to the tiny six-sided die. I don't know what that's all about, but I like the little ones better. The big ones, I think, would get in the way of gameplay, personally, if you're rolling on the surface. Yeah.
It's certainly a lot easier than bending your head all the way down there to look and look see what the dice is. Ones? I mean, yeah. I appreciate the little dice, too. I must, because I have 8,000 or 9,000 of them.
Right.
But I think beyond that, I think a big dice is not a terrible die is not a terrible thing.
Sure.
So, well, that's very exciting. I can't wait for our little get together.
Sure.
Where we will thoroughly play test, which means very soon you'll hear a follow up to this segment.
Yep.
And we'll let you know what we think of Davy Jones. If you want to check it out for yourself, check out your local hobby store. They should have them by now. They're out there and around.
Right.
You
could also check out WizKids Games. Is it WizKids Games or is it just WizKids? I forget. But you could check out their website also.
You Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Pirates of the Spanish Main.
And actually, if you go back to our original episode, we talk about it there, and the link might even be up on the site, too.
First episode or second?
Might be the second episode, but I think the link might be up on the website also on the links section. I think I gave that to Fantastic early on, so that should be
at the home site?
On the home site.
BigKevsGeekStuff.com?
Yeah, it's WizKids Games.
It is WizKids.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
So you can go to WizKidsGames.com, and you could check out more information about all of the Pirates of the Spanish Main and the expansions, and let us know what you think.
Excelente.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, I'm George Takei, Sulu from the original Star Trek series. Why not check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can listen each and every week to Geek Stuff. I know I'll be there. Live long and prosper.
Celebrity voices are impersonated.
And we're back again in this episode 14 of Geek Stuff, Memento. We're going to go through real quick what we talked about tonight. We started off by talking about Pirates of the Spanish Main, the newest expansion, The Curse of Davy Jones. Looks like a great set. There's some specialty boxes out there with some specialty ships in it that you should definitely try to find and check out. It looks as though these ships are only going to be available in the specialty boxes. And
it looks like the ones we have are only available to you.
That's right. To me.
Thankfully, though, Fantastic and I will be playtesting this with some ships that I have.
Oh, good.
And then we'll come back and we'll let you know. Maybe we'll let you play. Maybe you can bring your special I'm not sharing anything with you guys ships to the game, and maybe we might let you in.
Sure.
Fantastic? We up for that?
Why not?
All right. Excellent.
And then what do we talk about next?
Next, we talked about a very fine product for young children called Twilight Turtle.
Right.
And you can check out Twilight Turtle at twilightturtle.com. This is a plush toy that projects stars on a ceiling in colors meant to soothe a child so that it will help him fall asleep. It's a very wonderful product. I like it. I think if you are a parent or know a parent, it is definitely worth checking out Twilight Turtle.
Again, I'd like to reiterate, I also agree with the fact that the product is good. Kevin's obsession with the product, however, just a little scary to me personally. That's all I'm saying.
It's a toy. We cover toys. It's a good toy. The end.
Right. And finally this week, in our
news, current events.
What did you call
bits and pieces?
You just come up with a name for it, and you blow it on the first opportunity.
I don't know.
Something new.
Right.
In our something new section.
Okay. And finally tonight, in our something new section, we talked about a couple of different things. Some exciting, some meh. To start off with, we had the sequel to the Dark Crystal movie, which we both kind of feel is a little scary. Kevin, a little more iffy on it than me.
I think impossible. I think it had a definite end, and I don't think there's any way that they can do a sequel. I'm very hesitant.
Well, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to follow it a little more closely as it comes closer to fruition. Moving on from there, we talked about Matt Damon being the front runner right now for the role of James Tiberius Kirk in the upcoming Star Trek film.
Don't start winging it around now like you're the master Trekkie in the room.
Well, I was hoping that if I
I know
said
the
it,
name is Tiberius. I know it's Tiberius. You are watching original series.
I never
this summer.
Claimed to be a master Trekkie. Moving
fucking
away from there.
Fantastic knew what Tiberius T was that.
Good.
Fantastic Good. Knew Tiberius. Fantastic knew that T stood for Tiberius and you didn't.
Fine. Whatever. We also talked about Sabretooth potentially making a significant appearance in the Wolverine movie that'll be out sometime probably 2007, 2008, somewhere in that time frame. From there, we moved into the Miracle Man figure being possibly pulled from the Spawn line.
It certainly seems like that's what's happening.
I mean, our sources from around the world have been telling us that in this second shipment and third shipment of the figures, he's not in the cases.
Retailer X, in fact, phoned us up from Iowa, from the bathhouses in Iowa, and he let us know. In fact, what he said was, "We ain't got no Man of Miracles in our cases, yo."
Right. And speaking of Neil Gaiman and the Man of Miracles, what did you have for us?
I had that everybody needs to go out and you need to purchase Eternals number one. And again, I know it's kind of a little jarring. No, I understand. It's kind of
disconcerting.
I know the fucking word.
It's disjarring.
Shut up. I understand it's a little disconcerting to hear me promote a Marvel book, but I'm telling you. This one is really good. And it's only six issues, which I think sucks. I mean, quite frankly, I don't see how any other team could pick up the ball and run with this. So I understand it being six issues. Personally, I would have liked to have seen it at least 12. We had to endure 12 of those 1602 issues, didn't we, Fantastic?
Yeah, we did.
And how did it end?
Very disappointingly.
And that's news to him.
I don't have anything else. You have something else.
Oh, right.
Your webcomic. Whatever it's called. I forget. She's all that.
He's reaching.
And finally, we talked about You'll Have That, a collection of a webcomic by Wes Molbash. The comic online you can check out at vipercomics.com. You can pick up this trade also. This is one of the books that we're calling a significant other kind of bridge to the comic and geek world. You want to start them in easy, something like you want to ease them into the scene. You want to get them going. Something like You'll Have That will help you do it.
Well, you know what? This we discussed. This is a great geek book if you're trying to get your girl perhaps into the geek genre, the comic book genre.
Right.
But you know, we do have a bunch of female listeners out there, so maybe we need to think about what they could use to bring their boyfriends into it if they're not into it. You know, we'll discuss that later.
I think the same thing. I think the same book can be used
both ways.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you need to apologize for calling me stupid.
Wow.
Why? I'm cutting it all anyway.
Yeah, but what's with the stupid? Personal attacks? Because you can't think of Jude
no.
Law?
No. It wasn't personal.
Then what was it?
It was a joke.
That wasn't a very funny joke.
Well, I don't really think
you're
stupid.
Had I thinner skin, that might have hurt my feelings.
Yeah, but I know you don't have
had
a thin skin.
Had I not this stretchy skin?
Now he thinks he's going to run with his own joke.
Yeah, not so much.
Hey,
don't even
thought this
try.
Part was cut out.
Don't.
It will
you're,
be.
You're not, so, neither. You're, so, you guys aren't even fucking paying attention. You're
I'm
both text
attention.
Messaging
I'm
during
text
the show.
Messaging.
Okay. If you text message and you text message and it's not
actually,
each
we're
other.
Text messaging each other about you.
What?
We just don't want you to know.
He looks so gay today. Oh, my God.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Spitting out lyrics, homie, I'll wet ya. I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around.